This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. أما بعد. So inshallah today we will try, and I say we will try inshallah to do two hadiths today, which is Hadith 25 and Hadith 26, inshallah. We'll see how it goes. And the reason is because they are very close to each other in terms of what they teach. So I thought maybe we could combine them. But if you're someone who is watching this later on, not live, and you're someone who's reading the book while listening to the lectures, or this is part of a study group, you don't have to combine these two hadiths, right? You can simply study each hadith separately, so one per day, one per week, as you seem fit. So it's not a recommendation necessarily that you should do both of them together. It's just convenience, right, for our purposes here. So Hadith 25, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah azza wa jalla yaqul. So this is hadith that is Qudusi. Allah azza wa jalla is saying, قَدْ حَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَحَابُّونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He says, my love is confirmed for those who love each other for my sake. وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَصَافَوْنَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And my love is confirmed for those who cleanse their feelings or their love from any impurities. So when they love each other, they cleanse it. So it's safi, it's pure. They cleanse their feelings and love for each other from any contamination and impurity. وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَزَاوَرُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And my love is confirmed for those who visit each other for my sake. وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَبَاذَلُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And my love is confirmed for those who love each other for my sake. وَحَقَّتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلَّذِينَ يَتَنَاصَرُونَ مِنْ أَجْلِي. And my love is confirmed for those who champion each other for my sake. So they love each other, but there are also a list of things that they do for each other. They do it for Allah Azza wa Jal, and for that they deserve Allah's love. So this hadith establishes that reciprocal divine law. That is, as you do, Allah Azza wa Jal will do to you. As you are, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward you or will punish you. And you see this in that hadith. Okay, so because they love each other for Allah's sake, Allah loves them. And because they give each other and visit each other for Allah's sake, Allah loves them. So because if they love each other, Allah Azza wa Jal loves them. So we've seen also in other ayat, in other hadith. So Allah Azza wa Jal, for instance, said, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them pardon and overlook. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. What is the motivation? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love, wouldn't you like Allah to forgive you? That is, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal motivates those who want to forgive. But maybe there are obstacles standing between them and that forgiveness. Allah said, let them pardon and let them overlook, let them forgive. Why? Wouldn't you like Allah to forgive you? Meaning, if you forgive, Allah does what to you? He forgives you. So that's that reciprocal treatment. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, الرَّحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمَ الرَّحْمَنُ. Those who are merciful will receive mercy from the merciful. اِرْحَمُوا مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُم مَن فِي السَّمَاءِ. Be merciful with those on earth, and the one in the heavens, in the sky, above his throne, he will be merciful with you. So if you show mercy and deal with mercy, Allah Azza wa Jal shows you what? Mercy. So one way of receiving mercy and forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal is to treat the servants of Allah, the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, with forgiveness and mercy. And the opposite, by the way, is true. If you show harshness, cruelty, if you punish Allah's creation, what happens to you? Allah Azza wa Jal deals with you in the same way. Okay? Yani the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, the meaning of which, Ya Allah, if somebody assumes the leadership of my ummah and he is kind and gentle with them, be kind and gentle with them. And if he assumes the leadership of my ummah, which by say basically includes any type of leadership, from the very top leader all the way down to anyone who has power. And he says, if he assumes leadership in my ummah and he is hard on them, فَشَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ, he's hard on them, فَشْقُقْ عَلَيْهِ, be hard with them. You understand? If you are hard with people, on them, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is supposed to do the same. That's the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So that to be a deterrent, as you are treating Allah Azza wa Jalla will treat you. So here, if we want Allah's love according to this hadith, then you have to love people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and give them for the sake of Allah, and visit them for the sake of Allah. And all these acts are inspired by Allah's love, inspired by loving them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And why, and maybe we have said this before, why is it that those who love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, why is it that they receive such an honor from Allah? They receive His love, which is the greatest thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla is promising you here, you're going to receive the greatest thing from me, which is my love, if they you love another for the sake of Allah. But why did I, if I love others for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, why did I receive or deserve that honor? Because you cannot love another for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla until you purify your heart from worldly attractions, and you simply love for His sake, which means that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. So you have this person, and you're not really after money that they will give you. You're not after fame. You're not after support of some sort. Nothing from the dunya. What then motivates a heart like that to move, but not for the sake of the dunya? Because if you think about it, think about us. What moves us? What? 90% of the time it's the dunya. I'm hungry, I'll eat. I'm thirsty, I'll drink. This is nice, I'll buy it. This is beneficial, but it's really about worldly benefit. What moves us? It's the dunya. So if the dunya moves us, what makes us love and hate? It's the dunya. It's not the akhirah. So if a person manages to love for Allah's sake, that means that their heart is not primarily attracted to the dunya, but to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why he's able to love for the sake of Allah. So the heart is clean. So when you clean your heart from worldly distractions, let's call them worldly impurities, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the prime, major focus. I don't say it's the only focus, but the prime and major focus, Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the best or enables you to do the best of deeds. And you'll do things that will elevate you. And there's a hadith, and you may know this hadith. It's yani, reported by Muslim, rahimahullah. He said that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that once a man wanted to visit a brother of his, who was in another village or town. So Allah sent him an angel to meet him on his way. And the angel asked him, he says, where are you going? And he said, أريد أخاً لي في هذه القرية. He says, I want to visit a brother of mine in this city or village. قال هل لك عليه من نعمة تربها. He says, is this motivated by a worldly advantage? نعمة, is there a نعمة that you want to increase by visiting him? Do you owe him something? Does he owe you something? That is, what is between you? Is it dunya? And that visit is supposed to increase that dunya, so worldly benefit. He said, no, غير أني أحببته في الله عز وجل. He says, no, except that I love him for Allah's sake. So the angel said, then I am the messenger of Allah to you to tell you that Allah had loved you, or that Allah loves you as you love him. I am the messenger of Allah to you to tell you that Allah loves you as you love him. So imagine here that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent to this man who was purely motivated, not by anything but the love for that man, Allah, loving for Allah's sake, sent an angel to ask him and to give him the good news that Allah loves you. And it may seem that the action that he did was a minor action. He just traveled. But if you imagine the travel then, unlike travel today, was very difficult, very dangerous. The journey requires a lot of effort and sacrifice. A lot of time may have been spent on that journey. And it's only for Allah's sake, right? Only for Allah's sake, then he is actually sacrificing for Allah Azza wa Jal. And so that's why the question is. Is it because of a dunya? He says no, because that's what typically moves people. He says no, it's because of Allah. I love him for Allah's sake. He says Allah Azza wa Jal then loves you. So when Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah's love is so entrenched, is so natural, no one has to push you to do this. Because no one, right, pushed him to do this. No one has to push you to do this. No one has to push you to be kind. No one has to push you to remember to call that person or to worry about them. Nobody reminds you to love yourself. Yeah, you may say to someone, take care of yourself. But you're not telling him that because he forgets himself. It's just he doesn't know how. But no one forgets to take care of themselves because you love yourself. So that's natural to you. So if the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is a natural love, it will push you to do all of these things without a reminder. And these things would be the easiest of things to do and the most beloved of things to do because they come back to feed the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like if you're cooking a meal for someone that you love and you are conscious at that moment that you're doing it for someone that you love, the meal preparation and the cooking is an act of love in itself, right? So you feel it. And there is joy in doing it, right? There's joy in doing it, if you remember. So if that's the case, no one has to push you and say, do this. So if we love Allah Azza wa Jal, all the actions that Allah asks us to do become naturally beloved to us. And all the people who are loved by Allah and who love Allah Azza wa Jal become our people immediately. And all the people who are distant from Allah or who oppose Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, are distant from us. Even if they are relatives, and that is because Allah Azza wa Jal is the focus. Allah Azza wa Jal is the test. What brings you closest to Him is beloved to you. And what is not is a waste of time. And of course, that type of love, and any love, any iman has to be tested. Right? You can't have such a gift and have the shaitan not try to ruin it. You can't have iman and the shaitan not attack you. So it means that if you have iman, you have to defend it, right? And if you commit a mistake, you have to ask Allah for forgiveness. And you have to refocus on what pleases Allah if you forget. So that's the challenge of having iman. You don't just simply have it and you're done. As you have it, you could lose it. As it goes up, it must go down. So that means that you need to protect it. So if you're loving for Allah's sake, you also need to protect that love from the shaitan and from yourself. The shaitan will attack it, will try to spoil that love. And you yourself may commit mistakes. And when you commit these mistakes, you have to be quick to ask for forgiveness and admit that you've made a mistake. So that love also needs protection. And Abu Qilaba, rahimahullah, he said, again, and this is kind of adab, but we also want to emphasize this adab in light of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, إِذَا بَلَغَكَ عَنْ أَخِيكَ شَيْءٌ تَكْرَهُهُ فَالْتَمِسْ لَهُ الْعُذْرَ جَهْدَكَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدْ لَهُ عُذْرَ فَقُلْ فِي نَفْسِكَ لَعَلَّ لِأَخِي عُذْرًا لَا أَعْلَمُهُ. He said, if news reaches you about your brother that displeases you, so maybe, and he doesn't explain, that's my clarification, maybe they say he said something about you, he said something against you, or he did something independent of you, it's not related, but he did something wrong. So news that have reached you about him that displeases you. So he said, فَلْتَمِسْ لَهُ الْعُذْرَ جَهْدَكْ. Try your best to find an excuse for him. Try your best to find an excuse for him. But if you cannot find an excuse, then say to yourself, maybe my brother has an excuse that I do not know, that beyond my comprehension, beyond my awareness. That is, if you want to be a good brother or a good sister, if you want to carry that name, then you have to assume the best about this person and forgive him when he makes a mistake. And when you hear something about him, don't rush and believe it. And if it actually is confirmed, you say, he might have an excuse. Wait till I hear him out. Wait until he explains. Maybe there is another side. Maybe he was angry. Maybe it was not reported right. Maybe he meant something different. Maybe and maybe. And as long as there is a maybe, you give him the benefit of the doubt. And you don't cut that friendship, kill that love, which is supposed to be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't do it simply because you feel angry or you feel wrong. That's the difference between loving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and following your own emotions. Following your own emotions, you'll do whatever you want. Loving for the sake of Allah supersedes your emotions. You'll say, it doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is this brother has rights on me. He has rights on me, and I have to observe these rights, regardless of what I feel. Right? And there's a Al-Hasan, rahimahullah, he said, Al-Mu'minu la yahifu ala man yubghidu wa la ya'thamu fi man yuhib. He said, the believer is not unjust with those whom he hates, and he is not driven to sin because of those whom he loves. The believer, as a believer, meaning if you hate someone, you're not unjust with them. And if you love someone, you don't sin because of them. Do you see how the believer is in the middle? He's not swayed by their emotion, because there's something higher than that. Versus somebody who, if they hate someone, and we're going to come to that later, if they hate someone, they hate all the way. And if they love someone, they love all the way. And if they hate someone, all the sins of the world are in him. And if they love someone, he's a saint. And he's telling you here about a balance, which is, you hate someone, you don't transgress Allah's bounds. You don't commit to haram just because you hate him. No, you're restrained. You're restrained. You can't commit whatever you would feel like. And if you are in love with someone, you love someone, that love doesn't push you to commit a sin. And you know why? Because there's someone that you love who's higher than that, which is Allah Azza wa Jal. Because obviously, if you love someone, if you really, really, really love someone, they could force you to sin, right? You'll do it just to make them happy. But if you love Allah Azza wa Jal more, that would not be possible, right? So what love means? Love is not a claim. It's not something that you say, oh, I love so-and-so. I love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But I say love is a state of deep commitment. Right? When you say, I love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you're declaring that you love Allah, and you're declaring that I love only for His sake. I love this person for His sake. And that means that actions must follow. Positions must be taken. Other positions must be avoided. It's not just I love, and it ends up there. So it's a moral and physical support to the beloved based on your advice, your best wishes. And if you see them commit a mistake, if you see them straying away from Allah Azza wa Jal, sadness for their state, and eagerness to put them back. Opposite the feeling of those who, when they see somebody commit a mistake, they gloat and they're happy. Because they feel that if somebody does that, then I'm superior to them. I'm better than them. They've fallen and I'm better. But that is not indicative of any love for Allah's sake, nor even of love for Allah. And if somebody is righteous and they lose their footing and they commit a mistake and you're happy. So why is that happy? Why does that bring you happiness? Okay, if this is upsetting to Allah, it should be upsetting to you. And you should be sad because they slipped, not happy. And because now the Muslim ranks have weakened because somebody had fallen. Right? So you're supposed to what? Want everybody to be in Jannah and everybody to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal and everybody to be free of sin and to be sad when somebody is sinning. That is a heart that loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So just as an example of somebody taking care of those whom he loves, it says Tawus, and Tawus is from the Tabi'een, rahimahullah. قال أقام طاووس على رفيق له مريض حتى فاته الحج. He says Tawus took care of his sick friend until he missed Hajj. That is, and we don't assume that that is the obligatory Hajj. But Tawus, we understand then, wanted to make Hajj, wanted to go on Hajj. That's the intention. A friend of his, a brother of his, got sick. So he kept taking care of him, until he missed Hajj. And now you may say to yourself, well, did he sacrifice the greater good, which is Hajj, or was taking care of his brother better? Because taking care of his brother is better. But who can do this? Like even today, right? Would you miss out something like that, Hajj and Umrah, right? Independent of the obligation, we're not talking about that. Just simply to take care of another brother or sister. But you won't be able to do this until you love them as much as you love yourself. Until you care for them as much as you care for yourself. Until you really feel for them. Then only would that be possible. And again, you're not waiting for anything. You're not saying to yourself, oh, so that in case I get sick later, he can take care of me. You have no idea if they will do that. Maybe they will not even pick up the phone. So what? Will you not do it? Because if you're doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal, it doesn't matter what they will give you in the future. But if you're doing it for Allah, then at that moment it's for Allah. And when it's done, you throw it in the sea. You don't even remember that you've done that. That's the important thing. You throw it away in the sea. That's it. I didn't do a thing. Allah did this to you. Even if he comes thanking you, I didn't do a thing. Allah Azza wa Jal enabled me to do this. Because your reward is with Allah Azza wa Jal. Your reward is not with anybody else. Okay? And kind of connected to this, there's a proverb that says, أَخُوكَ مَنْ صَدَقَكَ النَّصِيحَةَ. He says, your brother is the one who gives you sincere advice. And we could easily rephrase it to say, the one who loves you is the one who gives you sincere advice. The one who is dear to you or should be dear to you, the one who gives you sincere advice. Not the one who flatters you all the time, even though they know what you're doing is wrong. That person sees your mistakes, the tragedies you commit, and still they flatter you, then they're not interested in your safety, in your well-being. But a person sees you making a mistake, and he comes, or she comes, in the best of ways, very compassionately, very kindly, and they say, you've done something wrong, that is your brother. That is your sister. That's one who cares about you. So as difficult as it is to hear criticism, isn't it difficult to be criticized? Isn't it difficult to hear that you are wrong and to be corrected? Who likes it? No one. But if you understand the benefit of that criticism, even, you know, despite how it was presented to you, but the benefit of that criticism, if it's actually sound, you'll appreciate the one who's giving you that advice, because that person is saving you. If he tells you this is haram, don't do it, and it's actually true, he's saving you. And he should be thanked for it. Right? So that's why sometimes your enemies are more beneficial than your friends, because your friends will look the other way because they don't want to upset you. They don't want to lose the friendship. Your enemies have nothing to lose. They'll tell you to your face, you do this, this, this. So sometimes your enemies will be more upfront and honest. So anyway, whatever advice comes to you, it's important to actually first to receive it in the spirit of an advice and to exclude the person, whoever had said it, how they've said it. Erase them. Like take an eraser, a magic eraser, just erase them. And just think about the thing that was said to you. And if it's good, take it. Don't be so stubborn. Okay, just because somebody or he said that, I won't follow. No, take it. And also in the same way, you be the person who gives advice when people need that advice in the best of ways, right? So, and that again, it comes, how will you be able to give advice and risk someone's anger and friendship? It's because you trust Allah Azza wa Jal more than you trust what is here, what is in between creation. That is, if I'm doing it for Allah's sake, and you're doing your best to deliver it in the most acceptable of fashions. But if you trust Allah Azza wa Jal and I'm doing it for Allah's sake, this advice needs to be given. And when that person is angry, right, unrightfully, then they are angry. But you've done your job to him, towards him, and also Allah Azza wa Jal. Love for Allah's sake, right, is of the best of deeds. I'm going to give you, inshallah, a couple of stories to demonstrate, one story actually, to demonstrate this. So Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, and he's a tabi'i, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, he says, Wallahi inni la uhibbuka li ghayri dunya urid arju an usibaha minka wala qarabata bayni wa baynak. So he said to Mu'adh, and Mu'adh is a sahabi, and he is a tabi'i. He says, by Allah, I love you, not for the sake of a dunya that I'm going to get from you, nor because of kinship that is between me and you. So Mu'adh said, then for what do you love me? He said, Lillah. Okay, Abu Muslim. He said, I love you for Allah. قَالَ فَجَذَبَ حُبْوَتِي. He said, he held me by my clothes and pulled me to him. And he said, أَبْشِرْ إِن كُنْتَ صَادِقًا. He says, expect the best if you are honest. I heard the Messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, المتحبون في الله في ظل العرش يوم لا ظل إلا ظله يغبطهم بمكانهم النبيون والشهداء. He says, those who love each other for my sake will be under the shade of the throne on the day when there will be no shade except the shade that Allah provides. He says, and the prophets and the martyrs will admire and wish for the station of those people when they see them. That is, any prophet passing by and he sees them, any martyr passing by and he sees them, he says, they will admire, يغبط, meaning you admire and you wish for that for yourself. Not envy, but wish the same for yourself. So it's amazing, subhanAllah, that this is the statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, this is a reason for you to be elevated and shaded on the Day of Judgment, because you've loved another for Allah Azza wa Jal. Such a high station. So Abu Muslim, he said, I got out and I came to Ubad ibn Samit, and I gave him the hadith of Mu'adh. I told him, this is what Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Ubadah ibn Samit said, and I heard from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, indeed my love is confirmed for those who love each other for my sake. The hadith of the chapter. So, if you want Allah Azza wa Jal to elevate you, worship Allah through love, meaning love Allah and love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And another hadith also that confirms it is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said about the seven who will be shaded on the Day of Judgment in the shade that Allah will provide, when there is no other shade except that, فَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمْ. He mentioned, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two men who love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're united because of their love, and when they're separated, they're separated with that love. So it's this love that brings them together, and it's this love that continues between them even when they separate. So that is a cause for Allah Azza wa Jal to shade you on the Day of Judgment. And here, subhanAllah, again, what that means is that when you say to someone, or when you feel, or you want to assume that position, love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, there are obligations, responsibilities that follow that. The ones that we talked about. You love for them what you love for yourself. You wish for them what you wish for yourself. What saddens them saddens you. What makes them happy makes you happy. You think of them as you and you as them. If there is benefit that you bring to yourself, you want to bring it to them. If you learn something, you want to also share it with them. If there is advice, you would give that advice. If there is anything that brings them closer to Allah, you will bring that to them. And you will even make dua for them, right? Like Ahmad ibn Hanbal, right? Rahimahullah, he said to the child, the son of a Shafi'i, Wallahu A'lam, he said, your father is among group of people that I make dua for them every single day. Like you have a list of people that you are so close to that every single day I will make dua for them. That is the brotherhood that we talk about, or the sisterhood that we want to take about. So a couple of sayings that kind of emphasize this. So Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he says, I heard Musawir al-Warraq said, he says, يَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, he's swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, I would not deny a man, or I would not say to a man, I love you for the sake of Allah, and deny him anything from this world. As if I were to say to someone, I love you for Allah's sake, I will not stop him taking anything from the dunya that I have, if he wants it from me. And again, you may ask yourself, so how is that possible? You know how much we love the dunya, right? So how is it that if that person wants anything from the dunya from you, you would not stop him? Because you love who more? Allah Azza wa Jal. You love Allah more, right? And so you said, I love you for Allah's sake. Now you've elevated him above the dunya. You put this brother above the dunya. The dunya is beneath you. So this one whom you loved for Allah's sake wants some of the dunya, you wouldn't deny him the dunya because he's higher than that. Like, would you say to your mother, okay, if you love your mother, which I assume you love your mother, you would say, you could take everything in this house except the most precious and the best things I have. The best food is not for you, but take anything else. You wouldn't say that to your mother. You would say, what? Everything in my house is yours, right? To your father, everything that I own is yours. If you love someone, everything that I have is yours, right? That's what it is. You say, I love you for Allah's sake, and then you keep the dunya to yourself. He said, they don't really love him for you, Allah's sake. That is the love we're talking about. That is that intensity. I really love you for Allah's sake. Mm-hmm. It's not a word that you throw around. There's a commitment to it. There's a deep commitment to it. Abdullah ibn al-Walid, he said, قال لنا أبو جعفر محمد بن علي, he said, يدخل أحدكم يده في كم صاحبه ويأخذ ما يريد. He says, would one of you put his hand in his brother's sleeve? You know what the sleeve? Because they used to keep their money in their sleeve, so it could be pocket. Would one of you take his hand and put it in his brother's pocket and take whatever he wants from it? They said, no. He said, then you're not brothers as you claim. Then you're not really brothers as you claim. Meaning what? Meaning you don't ask him. Think about your own actual blood brother, or your own wife, or your own child. Father, can I eat these chips? No, he just opens the cupboard, right? He goes in, opens the cupboard, eats it, because it's his. He doesn't take permission. So that's how familiar that relationship is. So he says, if you tell a person, I love you, or you are my brother, it needs to be that familiar, meaning that I'm not going to ask you, can you give me this, please? There's no permission anymore between you and him. You simply just stake as he just stakes. That's the level of confidence. That's the level of love. And that's something to aspire to. That's something to push for. That if you want to say to a person, a brother and a sister, feel the weight of that word. And if you definitely want to say, I love you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, realize that it has to mean something. That I will do everything in my power to help you, everything in my power to save you, everything in my power not to believe the worst things about you when I hear them, not to suspect you when the shaitan tries to introduce suspicion into my head, not to simply say, oh, he didn't call me, so I'm just going to stop calling him. Not to destroy that love and that friendship and that brotherhood at the first sign of trouble. To be humble enough that when you commit a mistake, you say, I made a mistake, sorry, forgive me, because you want to maintain that love. If that is the basis of that love, then it will prosper, it will continue. So let me move, so maybe we will have a little bit of time, inshallah, to spend on Hadith 26, inshallah. And Hadith 26, kind of in the same spirit of this Hadith that we just finished. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا تَحَبَّثْنَانِ فِي اللَّهِ إِلَّا كَانَ أَفْضَلَهُمَا أَشَدُّهُمَا حُبًّا لِصَاحِبِهِ. He says, no two love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, except that the best of the two is the one who loves their companion more. No two people who love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The best of the two is who? The one who loves the other the more. More. Because both of them love each other for Allah's sake, right? He loves him for Allah's sake, he loves him for Allah's sake. So who's better of the two? He says, if you love your companion more, you're better. And why is it that when you love your companion more, you're better? Because that means that you obey Allah better. Because that love is ibadah, by the way. Loving for Allah's sake, that love in itself, those emotions are ibadah. So you love Him more, so you're better at that ibadah. And it also means that you love Allah Azza wa Jal more. That's why you were able to produce more love. Right? Now, something interesting first about Allah's love Himself is that Allah's love has no end to it and has no limit. Right? Just as Allah's worship has no end to it and has no limit. So Allah Azza wa Jal, we could never say that we have loved Him enough. It's impossible. You could love a human being enough. You could over-love them. Right? Because they're finite. We're all finite. Allah Azza wa Jal, who is infinite in the terms of no beginning and no end, and what He had given us, how He blessed us, is far beyond our comprehension and our ability to thank and repay. So first of all, you will not be able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal sufficiently, even for a single ni'mah, let alone all the other things that you know and you do not know that Allah had given you or saved you from. So even worship, and Salman al-Farisi, radiyallahu anhu, and this is a statement from him, but it has the status of a hadith. It's authentic to him, but it has the status of a hadith. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, he said, the mizan, the scale, will be set up on the day of judgment, or will be set on the day of judgment. And if he says, فَلَوُزِنَ فِيهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ لَوَسِعَتْ أَوْ لَوَسَعَتْ, he says, if you were to put the heavens and the earth on that scale, the scale would be enough for them. They will fit the heavens, all the heavens and the earth. Put them in that scale, the scale will take them. So the angels, in wonder, they will ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, who is this weighing and for whom, Ya Allah? This grand creation. Can you imagine again? Just try to imagine with me. All the universe that you know, and that is unknown, will fit in that scale. So the angels now, they see this of Allah's creation, and they're experiencing wonder. They say, Ya Allah, what will this weigh, and for whom will this weigh? And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِمَنْ شِئْتُ مِنْ خَلْقِي, from whoever I wish from my creation. So like their knowledge and their comprehension is, you know, far less than what Allah knows. And so that will then they will say, Subhanaka ma'abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. He says, glory be to you. We did not worship you as you deserve to be worshipped. And then he will put as-sirat, right, that bridge. And it is as thin as a blade. So the angels again will look with wonder at that sirat. And they'll say, who will pass on this? A blade. Who will pass on this? So Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, whomever I wish from my creation. So they will say, glory be to you. We did not worship you as you deserve to be worshipped. That's an interesting, you know, to hear that the angels of Allah are saying this. The angels of Allah who don't stop worshipping Allah. From the time that they were created till then, they don't stop. So how many years are we talking about here? Thousands, millions of years of constant daily worship. And they say, we did not worship you enough. But because they realize more and more of Allah's majesty then, and Allah's power. So that's the awe that they experience. When you see something, you say, wow, I did not really fully understand how great you are. I saw like a little bit of it now. I don't really understand how great you are. It's beyond me. So that's the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this we say to anybody who may feel that, I've done so much for Allah. I prayed, I gave money, I do a lot of dua, I sacrifice, I give da'wah, right? I did so much for Allah. He says, no, whatever you have done is nothing. You have to look at yourself like that. Whatever you've done is nothing. So this worship of Allah Azza wa Jal has no end and no limit to it. And the love of Allah Azza wa Jal has no end and no limit to it. Because you could continue to love Allah till the end of your life and it would not be enough. And you could live multiple times and that would not be enough. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said, has no beginning and has no end. And you can keep loving Him more and more and more, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Taymiyyah said, Wallahu ta'ala, mahabbatuhu la nihayata laha. Allah's love has no end. Has no end. Which tells you, subhanallah, that you can continue to grow that love and continue to get more and more from it. And you can continue to enjoy it. Because there's no end, right? And because it is stable, it will give you the greatest stability and the greatest comfort. Like somebody came complaining to another about a person whom he loved and they passed away. I love so-and-so, they passed away. And they're very upset, very angry, very sad. So the man replied and he said, قَالَ أَذَّنْبُ ذَنْبُكَ أَحْبَبْتَ مَنْ يَمُوتُ. He says, it's your fault, you loved somebody who dies. Got it? Right? He says, you're so distraught that somebody died. And he came complaining and he says, it's your fault, you loved somebody who dies. Yeah, what did you expect when you love somebody who dies? Did you expect them never to die? That you would never lose them? That's what's going to happen to them. So when you put all of that and you invest it in somebody who dies, of course that's going to devastate you. That's your fault. So if you want somebody who never dies, Allah Azza wa Jal, love him. And love others at a secondary level, but love Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you're not going to be devastated. Okay? You'll be able to continue to move. He'll supply you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that patience. So loving Allah Azza wa Jal has no end, and you'll keep getting more and more from it. So every worldly love is doomed to end, but Allah's love, and that's what gives you safety. And a way to increase your love for Allah Azza wa Jal is for you to love what He loves. Kind of it's like a loop, right? Like a circle. You increase your love for Allah, you love what He loves more. Push yourself to love what Allah loves more. Meaning, stay next to it. Do more of it. Okay? Be next to them. Then you love Allah more. So it's a loop that keeps feeding that love. And it's actually loving what Allah loves is a test. You want to know how much you love Allah? See how much you love what Allah loves. How much do you love the Quran? How much do you love the adhan? How much do you love dhikr? How much do you love the righteous? How much do you love sin? How much do you love the sinful? That will tell you how much or how close you are to Allah and how much you love Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to test your iman or predict your iman, consider how close and far you are from what Allah Azza wa Jal loves. So this is how you want to grow it. Be closer to what Allah loves and that will increase bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. And there is a definite mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in linking His love to what He loves, to you. Right? There's definite mercy in it. I don't know if you can see it. Because Allah Azza wa Jal could have said, love me, but when it comes to people, do whatever you want to them. Right? Love me, worship me, but when it comes to people, do whatever you want to them. How would we live? What kind of life would we have? You'd be killing each other. Okay? There's no motivation. I want more of the dunya, and that's independent of Allah, so I'll just kill you for it, and then I'll go and pray. I'll be good with Him. But it doesn't matter what I do to you. Allah's mercy is in that, no, you cannot get into Jannah like that. And you cannot have my love like that. If you want to get into Jannah, you have to be merciful with them and you have to love them. You have to love them so Allah loves you. You see how merciful Allah is? Kind of Allah has protected you. Like there's a force field around you, kind of descends if you have iman around you. That's the protection of iman. Anyone who has iman says, oh no, can't touch him. I can't harm him. Allah may be angry with me. Can't take their money. Can't hurt their reputation. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is protecting you with his love, that he clothed you with his love so that others don't, who love him, do anything to you. That is Allah's mercy. And that in itself requires gratitude for Allah Azza wa Jalla. Of course, those who don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla will penetrate that field, that shield. But it is then the job of the faithful to defend themselves and defend other faithful as well. But if you believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is that protection. Now, loving for Allah Azza wa Jalla makes you a better you, a better human being. Because you're not controlled by your own emotions, you're not controlled by your own desires, you know, anger, sadness, happiness. It's not that. Somebody else is directing you. And somebody else is putting this love in your heart. And somebody else is guiding you. And your behavior will be refined. That is, as remember we just said, when you love someone for Allah, it's for Allah, you'll wish them the best. You'll do the best to them. You'll care for them like you care for yourself. There is no other motivation that will push you to be such a good person as the love of Allah. Love another like you love yourself. What other creed has this? Except a creed, I'm talking about a sound creed. What other sound creed has this except one that is given by Allah Azza wa Jalla? Love him as you love yourself. Deal with him as you deal with yourself. It pushes you to be the best person that you can. So even if you have bad thoughts about another, you will stop them. Even if you're saying bad things about the other and he may never know about them, you will stop them. You will be a better person because you love Allah Azza wa Jalla and because you love for the sake of Allah. And there's also something kind of very insightful about that love, which is that sin destroys love. If we understand that love is from Allah Azza wa Jalla and maintained by him, when you disobey him, that love diminishes. Right? So there's a hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that he said, والذي نفس محمد بيده ما تواد اثنان ففرق بينهما الا بذنب يحدثه احدهما. He says, I swear by the one whose Muhammad's soul in his hand, no two people love each other and then there is discord between them except because of a sin that one of them has done. So if there's love between them and they lose that love, he says, why did they lose that love? He says, somebody committed a crime, committed a sin, they lost that love. Which tells you something very significant about social conflicts and discord, whether on a personal level or on a communal level. Again, what is the kind of the connection? Love is from whom? Allah Azza wa Jal. And you cannot get something from Allah if you disobey him. You cannot have something from Allah blessed if you disobey him. So on the personal level, if you want to fix your relationship with your spouse, okay? I'm saying this so that we don't have to say this in therapy and in counseling, right? Just take this, know it, spread it. If you want to fix a relationship between you and your spouse, between you and your parents, between you and your children, the first thing that you're supposed to do is what? Obey Allah and stop sinning. Okay? If you want to fix relationships between you and your neighbor, it doesn't really matter who. It doesn't really matter who. But if you want love, compassion, if you want Allah to bring harmony, and there's lack of that, stop disobeying Allah. And obey Allah more. Pray more, make a lot of dua, make a lot of dhikr, read more Quran, etc. And keep at it until Allah Azza wa Jal restores the love that you guys have and restores that harmony. But when if it's missing, then something is missing. And that thing is what? Allah did not bless. Something got lost. So this is how you fix it. Not only on a personal level, on a communal level, on a societal level. When you see a society lacking harmony, people hate each other, suspect each other, then there's sin among them. And you want to restore public order, social harmony, stop those sins and come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then under the umbrella of Allah, everybody would be united. But take that away and the shaitan will have a field day. Sowing discord, sowing suspicion, right? Hate him for his color, hate him for his gender, hate him for his money, hate him for his name, for his status, whatever. And if not, we'll make up a reason to hate people. There's no shortage of reasons to hate people. There's always, right? He lives in this neighborhood, I live in that neighborhood, let's hate each other. Yeah, you could do that, right? So it's the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla that saves from this. And it's the sin that chases away that love. So we said that, just going back to the hadith, and then there's a story, and then we'll be done, inshallah. That the better companion is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal because he loves him more, and he loves him more because he loves Allah Azza wa Jal more. And he does more to preserve that love and protect it, meaning he's humbler. He rushes to ask for forgiveness, rushes to forgive. He does what Allah Azza wa Jal pleases, what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal more so than the other. That makes him the better companion. So this you could take as a prescription for all relationships that you have. If you say, they did not call me, so I will not call, then you're not the better of the two. Until you become the person who calls first. I'm not going to visit them because they don't visit me, you're not the better of the two. Until you be the person who visits first. If you say, I will not forgive them because they don't forgive me, then you're not better, the better of the two until you forgive first. So you have to be, and then you say to yourself, you know, isn't that humiliating? I'm the person who always has to do this. But if you're doing it for them, yeah, that's humiliating. If you're doing it to Allah Azza wa Jal, that's never humiliating. Allah honors you when you're humble. When you're humble, Allah honors you. Right? As long as the other person is worth it, there are sometimes people, right, who are not worth that effort. And I'm not talking about the exception. I'm talking about as long as there is good in that person and they are worth the effort, you humble yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal and you be the person who is the better of the two. وَخَيْرُهُمَا الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The best of the two is the one who begins with the salam. That's what he said, alayhi salatu wassalam. So loving Allah Azza wa Jal and loving for his sake allows you to treat others better than you treat yourself. And I love this story that follows, and that's on page 291-292. So Mus'ab, he said, Abu Muhammad al-Marwazi, he said he came to Baghdad and he wanted Mecca for Hajj. So he said, I wanted his companionship, meaning I wanted to go with him to Hajj, right, and be his companion. So I asked for his permission, can I be your companion? He did not grant that to me. So I said that in the first year, the second year, and then the third year. The third year he came, so he denied him twice. The third year he came, gave him salam, and he said, I want to be your companion on that trip, you know, to Hajj. He says, I will accept with the condition, with the firm condition, that one of us will be the emir, and the other one does not disobey him. Right? The other one does not disobey him. So I said, he's Mus'ab, he said, you are the emir. So Abu Muhammad says, no, you are the emir. Then the other, who is younger, right? This is the person who wanted to be the companion. He said, no, you're older than me and more worthy of me, so you be the emir. Okay, so I want to be your companion. You be the emir. You're older than me. He says, yes, I will be the emir, but you do not disobey me. I'll be the emir. Then you listen to me. He says, yes. فَخَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ. He says, so I set out with him. We traveled together. When it's time to eat, he would favor me with his food. He would give me his food, favor me with most of it, or more, or all of it, or the best of it. If I wanted to object, he said, did not I not ask you and make it a condition that you do not disobey me? He said, yes. So he says, فَكَانَ هَذَا دَأْبُنَا حَتَّى نَدِمْتُ عَلَى صُحْبَتِهِ. He says, he continued to do some things like that, meaning he gives me things that are his. If I object, he says, you have to obey me because I am the emir. He says, he continued to do this until I regretted asking him to being his companion because of the harm that he's bringing to himself. And then he said, one of those nights, there was heavy rain. And while we're walking, he said, oh, Abu Muhammad, meaning this older, who is the emir, he says, there's a milepost over there. Let's rush there. So we rushed to it. He says, sit at the base of this milepost. So he made me sit at the milepost, and he covered me with his body. He was wearing a cloak, so he covered me with his body. So he protected me from the rain, and the rain was falling on his head and in his body. And he continued to do this until the rain went away, until I wished that it never went out with him, never asked him to be his companions, because this is how he continued to behave until we came to Mecca. So he was the emir, and he was older, but he was like a servant. Like if you hired a servant, he wouldn't do a better job than this, right? But he wasn't his servant, he was older and well-known. And it's this guy who's seeking his companionship, but there is no pride. There is no pride. He had erased all pride. And then you ask yourself, but why is he putting himself through all of this trouble? What is he getting for it? Thawab, reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why he would rush to do it. And he'd be happy to do it. Why are you happy to do it? And it's difficult and you're not eating as well. Because every minute that I'm spending doing this, Allah rewards me. And I'm closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you enjoy doing it. No one is forcing you. Whereas if he were to ask him, could you give me more of your food? And the dunya was the primary focus, they'll fight. But this is how the love of Allah Azza wa Jal erases the dunya and transforms a person, reimagines a person in a way that is unimaginable today. You say, this is fiction for this to happen. Fiction to be seen. But it's not impossible. It can happen. But it's the love of Allah Azza wa Jal that is the motivation. Right? So we'll stop here, inshallah. And see if you have anything you'd like to ask. Let me know, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. I'll check if there's anything online. So the question, how do we give advice to those who have no life experience, not enough life experience to understand what we're trying to explain, which require life experience to decipher? You know, what are the tips? I mean, there's nothing miraculous here. Like, how can you have a person understand things that are difficult for them to understand? Especially that they had not experienced enough of life for them to understand that you need more of life. So kind of it's a dilemma. If they don't trust you to begin with, if they don't trust your wisdom, like why do we consult the elders and those who have more life experience? Isn't it because we trust their judgment? They've seen more of life that they could tell us about it more so than we can tell? So if you don't trust someone with more life experience, how can you convince them that your advice is worthy? So first of all, we have to establish that you need the counsel of others. Maybe begin by explaining to them that you need the counsel of others and you need the counsel of those who have greater experience, have seen things that you haven't, have gone through the very same thing that you're about to go through. If you can establish that, then maybe that could help. And again, maybe try to... I don't know, sometimes hearing it from outsiders is easier. So employ the help of an outsider who could give the same advice that you're given, but because you're so close, they're blind to it, blind and deaf to it. So employ somebody from the outside because there are no obstacles, right? Whenever there is obstacles, family relations, there are always obstacles. So employ somebody from the outside who would be able to help. And again, maybe finally I would say, try to use as much evidence and reasons. It's not just simply, if you do this, you'll regret it. Why would you regret it? I've gone through this and I understand. Okay, but give them the reasons. Give them the life experience. Give them what you went through, how your mind has changed. Try to make it as close to them as possible with as much evidence as possible. And then after all that, it's up to them, because some have to commit the same mistake in order for them to realize what you're saying. Right. I don't think there's anything online, or it could be coming. Anything on the brother's side? Fadlal, yeah. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So, how do you determine if somebody's not worth it, right? After you try and try and you keep trying, and you notice from their character, from the flaws that they have, that it is too difficult to change them. There are some bad qualities. For instance, the person who's always ungrateful, right? The person always remembers your mistakes but not your good deeds. There are things that you keep trying and trying and trying, but there is such enough lack of character or flawed character, evil character in them, that it's just bringing you more harm than good to keep trying. And you have diminished hope of changing them. Okay? So when that's the case, then you see it's better that I invest my time and effort somewhere else. So there will be people, right? I mean, we know there are people who believe in Allah and people who disbelieve in Allah. People who, despite your best effort, will still disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah deems it so that there will be people that have little good in them, if you encounter them and if you find out ultimately that there is little good in them, then you shouldn't keep wasting your time on them. You will not know until you try. But there's sometimes with, again, maybe related to this story, with more experience, you'll begin to know some of these signs and some of these characters that you need to avoid. Right? Yeah. Nakallah. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So if he says, if the same scenario that the brother was talking about, which is that if they're not worth the effort, but they are irrelative, should we continue to push and try to fix them, right? And of course, if they are a relative, there are two things happening here. One is that you owe them more, and it's not easy to disconnect. So you're bound. If they're just a friend or an acquaintance, you could just simply go your way, separate ways, and that'd be fine. A relative, on the other hand, you're connected. So we say there is more of a need to push. It's also for your own sake, not only for their own sake, it's also for your own sake. Because if you fix them, it's less stressful for you, okay, whenever you're around them. So, and also because of that connection, I mean, who's going to take care of them? Strangers? Not likely. But blood ties. So you push more and you try. And you may ultimately decide that I can't do anything. And you could reach that stage and that limit. And if you reach it after trying and dua and trying and dua, then you've reached it. So it's important, right, when we're saying give advice and be nice and this, there are some who will suck the energy out of you, right? Some who will suck all the goodness out of you just because you keep trying. You have to realize your limits and also how much actually they are reformable or not. You want to ask? Oh, it's here? Okay. Sure. Okay. If you want to give advice to someone that knows what they're doing is haram and they're guilty, should you still give the advice or just let them figure it out? No, if they know that what they're doing is wrong, still give them advice, even if they know what they're doing is wrong. Because sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else. You need to hear that this is wrong. Because as you're doing it, you can justify that to yourself. You could say, well, it's not as bad. I have excuses. I'll repent later. But when you emphasize that this is wrong, they could wake up. That's why we need advice. That's why we need reminders. Right? What is a reminder? Tadhkira. You know it, but you kind of forgot it. But you know it. So you need somebody to come and tell you, hey, remember that this is wrong? So no, you give them advice. You mentioned to increase in prayer and repentance when trying to rebuild a relationship. However, if one person makes the effort to increase in prayer and repentance, should the other person do the same? Absolutely. So when I'm saying that, that's a good question in terms of kind of how do you fix a relationship if the other person is not trying to, right? So am I saying that both parties of that relationship or all parties of that relationship need to do the same, stop sinning and obey Allah Azza wa Jal? Absolutely, because the foundation should be the pleasure of Allah. And you cannot have the pleasure of Allah if someone is doing right and the other is doing wrong. So everybody needs to repent. Everybody needs to do well. Now, what do you do when someone realizes the problem and they're trying to reform but the other is not? Is it still going to work? You say, yeah, it's still going to work. Because we hope that your effort is going to fix that. Your effort is going to bring that person closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Your dua is going to help. So this is the best that you could do. You can't say, well, since they've given up or since they are sinful, there's no use anymore. No, you'll say, I'll fix myself and be closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And in doing that, Allah may fix them. Allah may bring them closer. The relationship could be stronger. So you definitely everybody, but if not, whoever is aware of the problem should, inshallah, take care of it. He says, what is the haqq I have to give a toxic parent when I no longer want a relationship with them? I understand that not all family relationships are easy. I understand. But Allah Azza wa Jal kind of still wants you, kind of, you can't cut them off. Right? You can't cut them off. And the more that you strive, the more that you struggle, the more that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards you. Now, I don't know what you mean by a toxic parent. I, in a sense, believe you in that they harm you, right? And that could be the case. I understand that. But at the same time, right, if we're going to give everybody the... If we're going to let everybody just cut their parents off because they're angry with them or they're tough on them or they're getting more and more difficult to deal with, then no one is going to talk to their parents, right? So we need to kind of develop a patience. And what, may Allah save everybody, what if Allah Azza wa Jal gave you a disabled child who's hard to deal with? What do you do? He's your child. What do you do? Would you consider that what? It's a test from Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's also a blessing in the sense of Allah rewards you for that. So if somebody gives you, if Allah gives you a difficult parent, right, then that's another test, okay? And you are in jihad as long as you are trying, okay? Now there are ways for you to limit that toxicity, maybe by talking to them about it, by shielding yourself from their comments, by not taking that seriously. I don't know what type of toxicity we're talking about, but there are ways of shielding yourself from it. But don't let that undermine your entire relationship with them. You could give them dua. You can talk to somebody, and you definitely would need to talk to somebody about the specific reasons why you don't want to be close to them and how you could deal with those things. And maybe there is a solution that you don't know, right? So don't give up yet, right? And maintain at least a minimum of a relationship with them. And even if there is some distance, but at least a minimum of a relationship where you see what they need and you take care of it and you don't upset them, you don't harm them, that's a minimum, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. If one overlooks and forgives even after repeated negativity, harm, and toxicity to you, is it foolish to keep being patient and keep trying and maybe face harm? Or is that what we are supposed to do? So this is ties to what the brother was talking about. If you keep overlooking and forgiving, and over and over and over, and after some time you realize that that person is simply taking advantage of you, that person is harmful, that person is detrimental to your iman, and you try and you try and it's not working, there is going to come a point, after giving them advice, the benefit of the doubt, with much patience and much dua, there's going to come a point where you say, I can't maintain that relationship. It's not healthy, it's not helpful. So you start to withdraw. You don't need to stop completely. You can still exchange salam, but you withdraw from that relationship, so it's not as harmful. So you would have to be the assessor of that, okay? Or somebody who can give you advice, but you would have to give them the details of who that person is and that negativity and how long you've been trying to give you advice. But generally, you keep trying as long as you see good in that person, and there's more benefit than harm, and you still have hope. If there's more harm than benefit, and you have no hope, then you withdraw. Okay? So all these things that we're saying about try your best, that does not apply to someone who is harmful. I don't want to use the word toxic, because I don't know what the word toxic means. Right? So I don't want to like give it currency by saying toxic, toxic, toxic. I don't know what the word toxic means. But if somebody is harmful, then that harm is, harmful. If someone is harmful, then you avoid that. And you need to protect yourself, right? So if that's beyond your ability, then it's beyond your ability. Wallahu a'lam. And maybe we'll make this the last one, inshallah. How do you stop yourself from feeling like a hypocrite when you want to advise someone, but you're also committing the same sin? Well, say to yourself, is giving him advice a ibadah or not? I mean, regardless of what you're doing at that moment, but giving him advice, isn't it a worship in itself? You say yes. Could it help him? Yes. Could it save him? Yes. Should I then stop and not give him that advice just because I'm weak and I'm doing the same sin? No. So look at it as another act of worship, another act of ibadah. Don't fail at that. And then go back, and feeling like a hypocrite is not a bad thing. Then go back to yourself and say, you can't be giving people advice and then violating your own advice. So stop. But if you see somebody who needs your help, who needs your advice, despite your shortcomings, it's an act of ibadah to save them, to guide them. So that's not hypocrisy. That's worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then go back and be hard on yourself and stop yourself from committing that sin. Wallahu a'lam. So we'll stop here, inshaAllah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.